to the fantasy's finest fantasy football podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
What's going on? NFL Week 1 is around the corner. Aren't you excited? You feel the excitement? I know everybody's getting their drafts done, getting ready to set their lineups. I know I got a bunch of leagues that I'm in, so I'm already doing that now. It's finally here. It hasn't sunk in yet, so maybe it'll finally hit when you get to watch kickoff Thursday Night Football with Detroit and Kansas City starting us off for Week 1. I'm getting giddy just thinking about it. But welcome back to the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. I am your host, William Spencer, and now we have to get ready to get you ready for the beginning of the season. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about a few of my breakout candidates for this season. We got some stuff to cover and some in the news and notes section, and we got to get you ready to, just in case you have to make any moves, you know, after your draft, you might be looking at your team like, maybe I can do a little something. Maybe I need to make another move, and your waiver wire is sitting right there. So we have a few waiver wire ads that you need to check out, so that you can better your team as you prepare to win your championship, your league championship in 2023. So we're going to get all into that in this episode. I have to talk about something before we get into the main episode, the main part of the episode. So I have to get this out of the way. I made one of the biggest blunders that you can make during a fantasy draft. Now, if you're following me on TikTok, and the video will be up on YouTube as well, but if you follow me on TikTok especially, you kind of already know what's going on. I think I posted it on Twitter too. I can't believe that I did this. I picked the wrong name. Now here, before, I know I'm going to get crap for it, and rightfully so. You have to read the name when you get the sticker. You take the sticker off, you read the name, or you read the, you know, however you do it. But before you put that sticker on the draft board, you know that you have to make sure that you read the name, make sure you got the right guy, and then you put it in your spot. I did not do that. So here's quick synopsis. I go up for my second round pick. I want Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson fell to the middle of the second round. So I'm like, bet, I might as well just take him. I go up there and I grab B. Robinson Jr. Not thinking nothing of it. Like, you know, how many B. Robinsons are there? Apparently, there's enough to make a screw up, because I selected Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. And the kicker is, nobody else realized that that was a mistake until the seventh round. And another one of my league mates went up. He went to go draft Brian Robinson, and he picked up the Bijan Robinson tag. And, you know, it has the name of the team that it's on and blah, blah, blah. But I saw B. Robinson. I kind of ignored the junior, and I'm like, you know, maybe that was a misprint or something, because I've had draft boards where they had, you know, names mixed up and everything. So I didn't think nothing of it. You talk about getting a swift kick in the nads on a move like that. I couldn't believe that I pulled the trigger and did that. I was mortified. My league mates have, I have a lot of petty friends. And the fact that I do a podcast and I do fantasy football, it just makes the blunder worse. It was the worst. And I've never done that. I've done live drafts before. I've never had this happen to me before. But it's the first time for everything. But guess what? It ain't stopped the show. And I'll post my team. That's my Ballers League. I will post my team on my social media so you can see the rest of my team. But it ain't stopping the show. I'm going to get into the playoffs. And I'm going to win the league. You heard it here first. So I'll keep you guys updated on how I do in the Ballers League. But one more thing, one more item that I need to address before we jump into the main episode. The Trey Lance trade to Dallas. Let me just get this out the way because I've been asked. I've kind of dabbled in the opinion, but I'm going to give my firm opinion right here, right now. The Trey Lance trade to Dallas is a good thing, and it's not to replace Dak Prescott. Let me say this again. It is a good move that the Cowboys went out and traded for Trey Lance. And it is not a move to replace Dak Prescott. And I'll quickly tell you why. Dak Prescott is your franchise quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, whether you like him or not. Trey Lance has been brought in to compete for the backup role behind Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush signed a one-year extension. And after this year, he's more than likely gone. You know, maybe he'll find another job somewhere else. Maybe he'll get an opportunity to be a starter. I highly doubt it because he hit free agency last offseason, except actually this offseason, and nobody wanted him. So they went younger. They have a prospect where his value was highly sought after when he was drafted, but it didn't really work out in San Fran. So now he has an opportunity to rebuild himself. He has Mike McCarthy to work with. You know, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I'm a little bit leery of it because the Cowboys haven't really been able to develop quarterbacks that they drafted. But maybe this is an exception because it's via trade. Somebody else took Trey Lance, and now they got him over in Dallas. So maybe it works out. But Trey Lance has 2 or 3 years left on his contract. I think the final year is the fifth option. They won't pick that up. You're not going to pay a backup quarterback, you know, first round money. You're not going to do that. So Trey Lance has an opportunity to build himself back up and possibly be a trade piece later on. Maybe somebody wants to take a chance on him. Tampa Bay may need a quarterback. We know what Baker is by now. Is he the sexy option that they're going to keep long term? Probably not. Maybe he goes there. There's a few other teams that could use a quarterback. And Trey Lance is young. But he's not there to replace Dak Prescott. He's not. No matter what trolls say on the internet, no matter what Eagles fans come out of the woodwork and want to say, you know, oh, Jerry Jones is getting rid of Dak Prescott, blah, blah, blah. Please use your common sense. They built the team for Dak Prescott to win now, or at least have a chance to win now. They're not going to replace Dak Prescott. They're just not going to do it. Matter of fact, Jerry Jones has already come out and said that they expect Dak Prescott to be there for a very long time. He's got nearly $60 million tied up into the salary cap for 2024. They're going to give him an extension, and rightfully so. Sure, you want him to do more in the playoffs. Everybody does. You know, that's part of being a quarterback. You want your quarterback to take you to the next level. And if he does that, let's say he gets to the NFC Championship game. Let's say he actually wins. He helps the Cowboys win an NFC title game. Don't you think the price is going to go up? If you do it now and hope for the best, you know, you still have a pretty good quarterback. But if he gets that far, that price is going to go up. And I hope Jerry Jones got his wrist warmed up to write that, to hit that pen across that paper, because the price is going to go up. But let's use our common sense, folks. And it's not me being a homer. It's not me being a Dak stan or whatever you want to call me. It's just common sense. You're not going to get rid of a 30-year-old quarterback. It's not old. You're not going to get rid of a 30-year-old quarterback for an unproven Trey Lance who couldn't beat out Sam Darnold for backup duties in San Fran. No disrespect to Trey Lance whatsoever. You got a chance to rebuild your brand, rebuild yourself as a quarterback in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. And that's a great thing. But let's not jump to conclusions and say, oh yeah, Trey Lance is definitely going to play. And I've seen people try and make the correlation between Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was on his way out. 2020, he played like dog crap. He got himself put out. Now, granted, you know, we could debate whether or not the Eagles did enough to get people around him. You know, that's a whole nother topic. And we ain't got time for that. But I just wanted to get that out the way. My opinion, Dak Prescott isn't going anywhere. He's going to get the extension. Trey Lance has not been brought in to replace Dak Prescott, at least not in a competitive way. Maybe he does replace Dak Prescott down the line, but it ain't going to be because he beat Dak Prescott for the job. Not going to happen. I'll stand on that. Not going to happen. But let's get into the episode. And before we do, one final thing, we got to give you the what do they call it on the radio? The network information. You can follow the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms: iHeartRadio, Spotify, Odyssey, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on social media. We're across all our social media networks: Threads, Facebook. Just search us up at Fantasy's Finest. Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, etc. And you can follow the host too. You can follow me at Hype_Finest. You can follow Jalen at Wholesome_Ace. And you can follow Mark at McNux on Twitter. And I've been talking to Mark, and it seems like he wants to get back on the show. He's been doing his own thing. It's no crazy beef or nothing crazy like that, or no, you know, nothing, no drama. He wanted to try something, to do his own thing. He wants to come back for this season. I have a strong feeling that he'll be back. So I can't wait to have my guy back. Ace is doing the father thing, man. He's really handling his business. His wife is due very soon. They're about to have their second child, man, and I'm happy for him. So, you know, we'll get a dabble of Ace whenever he can jump back in. But let's get into the main parts of the episode. We've gone on long enough. News and notes. Let's see what's going on around the NFL.
News and notes from around the NFL.
All right, recent stuff. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid said that Travis Kelce's status for week one is uncertain after he hyperextended his knee in practice this week. The Lions and Chiefs play on Thursday Night Football. This could not be the worst thing to happen so far. And there have been quite a few injuries leading up to the start of the season. But Travis Kelce is especially tough because I actually got a share of Travis Kelce this year. I finally got a share of Travis Kelce, and he's already hurt heading into week one. You talk about that just sucking for fantasy right now. Like, I'm like, I can't believe this. All the chances that I missed opportunities to get Travis Kelce on my team, and I don't even have him for week one. Now, granted, there's been no structural damage, no ACL damage. They did they checked his knee for that. So there's no issues with that. But he has swelling in the knee. So the speculation is that he may not be ready for Thursday Night Football. And if he's not, you got to pivot, get another guy off of waivers. There should be quite a few options unless your league mates are just like two tight end holders in a one quarterback league or redraft league. There should still be options available. We actually did, if you go on to fantasiesfinance.com, we're already getting ready for the regular season. And week one's waiver wire article is up, and you know, we're going to talk about a few guys. I'll help you guys out and put a couple guys, that I put on an article in the episode for options. So hang on for that. We'll talk about that later in the episode. So let's get through the news. ESPN's Adam Teacher believes the roles for Rashee Rice and Justin Ross, two Chiefs wide receivers, might be limited early in the season, or at least until coaches are comfortable with giving them a bigger workload. I'm particularly excited about that for both Rashee Rice and Justin Ross. I kind of get the vibe, though, that Rashee Rice may be a little bit longer, only because he's a rookie. We kind of saw how Sky Moore was treated last year. He didn't really get to do too much. So maybe they treat Rashee Rice with, you know, training wheels. Justin Ross has been on the team for a year. He really didn't get to do anything last year because he missed the 2022 season with injury. But hopefully we get to see both of these guys out there. And with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, and Justin Watson, along with Kadarius Toney, who, by the way, is expected to be ready for week one. And if Travis Kelce does not play, that could potentially be a bump for the wide receivers. The question now is, which one is going to be the beneficiary? We know in the offseason, they've talked about Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore in particular getting bigger roles this year. So maybe you start off with those two and hope that Kadarius Toney is past his injury that knocked him out for training camp, and then just go from there. Me personally, I just want to have Kadarius Toney. If I have any shares of him, I'm going to keep him on the bench. I probably have better options that are ahead of him, and I just want to see what the week one, the first game of the season, shakes out for them. Moving along, the Colts head coach Shane Steichen said that the team will use a running back by committee approach to start the season. Now, remember that Jonathan Taylor is on the PUP list. Zach Moss is still reportedly a week or two away from returning after he broke his arm during training camp. So the Colts kind of have to go through the running back by committee process. More than likely, Deion Jackson is going to take the leadoff role. Evan Hull is expected to share duties with him. Now, Hull in particular, this was interesting when I looked up or I was doing research for the news segment. Hull actually led all college backs in receptions and receiving yards in 2022. So he profiles as a bigger pass-catching back. So he may have some PPR value if they're going to split the work and let Deion Jackson lead off and let Evan Hull take care of passing down duties. Also worth noting that James Robinson, the former Jaguars running back and New York Giants running back, was also working out with the Colts. So maybe they make another addition to add some depth to that backfield. But if James Robinson is ready to go, more than likely you'll have a three-man RBBC. So hopefully you kind of just get to deal with Deion Jackson and Evan Hull. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that all signs point to Joe Burrow, who was dealing with a calf injury, playing week one against the Browns. Burrow injured his calf in the beginning of training camp, and they, you know, put the kid gloves on him. They didn't want him to get further injured, so they put him on ice for training camp. But recently he's been shown jogging around in practice and high-fiving teammates, so it looks like Burrow is back. Week one against the Cleveland Browns, you definitely need to have him in your lineup. I shouldn't even have to say that. You know you got to have him in your lineups. Especially what you paid to get him in the draft, it would be crazy not to. And finally, another tight end broke the news, has been in the news recently. George Kittle may miss week one with his groin injury. Now, he was diagnosed with an abductor strain earlier in the offseason and reportedly has been out of practice. He was expected to miss practice for a week, but it's been extended further than that. And he reportedly, he's still sidelined from the abductor and the groin injury that he's been dealing with too. It's looking like he might miss week one as well. He hasn't been practicing with the team. He's been practicing off to the side to get himself back. Not a good look if you have George Kittle on your fantasy team. But if you have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey, that's where those targets will go if Kittle misses week one. So stay on point with that. If any more news comes out, we will definitely be posting about it on our social media. So that's why I say follow the Fantasy's Finest on your social medias. Duh, guys. But that'll do it for the news. Now let's get to part one of our main segment. Let's get into some breakout candidates for 2023.
And now for our feature presentation.
All right, so this is going to be a little short and sweet, but these guys in particular have been players that I've been kind of pounding the table for. And, you know, shallow plug, I've actually been doing a couple of these guys I've been doing articles for on Fantasy Data. So if you want to, you know, slide over to Fantasy Data and check those articles out. But my first guy that I really like to have a breakout season this year is Chris Olave. Now, the thing I like about Chris Olave, you have to factor in, I always try to factor in the quarterback. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but you look at the quarterback position and you have to figure, can this quarterback get me, get my skill players, or get these skill players to where they need to be? And Derek Carr is a significant upgrade from what they had in Andy Dalton. Now, Chris Olave was able to finish as a high-end prospect last season. He finished for over 1,000 yards during his rookie season. So that's a plus. But now he gets Derek Carr. He gets a quarterback who's not afraid to sling the ball downfield. And that's one thing that you need, especially when you – that's one thing that I like to have when you have fantasy wide receivers. Can you get those big chunk plays? Can you get those huge gains? And it's like it only takes one or two plays for him to have a good game. And if he gets the targets, it's a great game. So Chris Olave gets that with Derek Carr this year. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to. If you add Derek Carr, you get Michael Thomas back. He's healthy. Alvin Kamara comes back from suspension. The Saints have a really good team on paper. And Chris Olave is one of those key pieces. I'm looking forward to him having a big season this year, especially if he can stay on the field. Or, sad to say, I don't want to, you know, knock on wood, whatever. If Michael Thomas can't stay on the field, that just means more work for Chris Olave. So that he's one of the guys that I've really been pounding the table for this year. I really like him this season. You know, getting him as a wide receiver too for my fantasy leagues is like, you know, icing on the cake for me. So Chris Olave is my first guy. My next guy I want to talk about is Breece Hall. Now, I know he's coming back from the torn ACL that he suffered in week 7 against the Denver Broncos. I get all of that. And I understand that the Jets are looking to ease him back in to start the season. It could be a week. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. We don't really know. But if we look at what he did last season, it only took them maybe 1 or 2 weeks before Breece Hall. They let Breece Hall loose. They let him take the reins. And he was the running back one all the way up until the injury. Now, another thing to consider is that they did go sign Dalvin Cook. But I don't believe Dalvin Cook is going to be a hindrance to what Breece Hall can do. One thing to note is that when Breece Hall went down last year, the Jets' run game finished 25th overall out of the entire league. Breece Hall was the machine that made that run game go. And the moment he went down, it came to a screeching halt. But that's why you have Dalvin Cook. Yeah, he's, what, $8 million on one-year deal? You're kind of looking at, oh, well, it's going to be a split. I do feel like Dalvin Cook has some value. He will be used, but I think this is Breece Hall's show. I feel like you're not going to let Dalvin Cook come in and just completely take over. You're going to bring Dalvin Cook in to allow you to have the time to bring Breece Hall back to 100%. And Dalvin Cook affords you to do that. And in the event that something happens to Breece Hall, you now have a more than capable running back to be able to keep your run game going and allow your team to have an opportunity to compete, to actually compete for a Super Bowl. But fantasy-wise, I feel like Breece Hall is the RB1. Dalvin Cook is going to be a guy to help keep Breece Hall fresh. You know, you'll have a running back now that if you start taking leads in games, you don't have to worry about running Breece Hall into the ground because you have Dalvin Cook. If you want to use Dalvin Cook that way, I just feel like Breece Hall he was on the cusp of doing something crazy last season, and we kind of got robbed of it. And of course, Breece Hall got robbed of it too, because of how he finished, you know, with the injury. So that's just one thing to consider. But Breece Hall, if he's fully healthy, he's been running in 11-on-11s for the last 2 weeks. Like I said, they're going to take – Robert Saleh has already said that they're going to take their time in easing him back in. But once he's ready to go, and I don't think it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks, I think he's going to be ready to go, I would say no later than week 3 at the latest. So if you got – like I went out and did – I got Breece Hall. I knew if I was going to target Breece Hall, I was going to make sure I stacked up at running back and have enough guys where I could let Breece Hall sit on the bench, let the Jets ease him back in without any pressure to start him. And now I got 2 to 3 startable running backs that I can just throw in my 1, 2 and flex spots. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. The hope is Breece Hall stays healthy and he's going to have a nice season, breakout season. Another guy I really like is James Cook. Now, I'm not using the whole name thing. Yes, I know he's related to Dalvin Cook. That's not the sell. The sell is that the Buffalo Bills have needed a consistent runner forever. Now, they've had Devin Singletary last year, but to me, Singletary was not a dynamic piece. He kind of got the job done, but, you know, they flirted around with Devin Singletary, and then they used Zach Moss in combination. But I feel like James Cook could be the guy who's a capable three-down back with upside. He's got the speed. He's got the vision. He's a good pass catcher. We just need to see him finish in the goal line, in those goal line situations. I think that's where everybody has the tentative look like, I don't know, he don't look big enough, but he's got the speed. He'll beat people out on the edge. So if you can scheme up runs in the goal with him, I'm not overly worried. And if you get down there, you give him the chances, and you still have to concern yourself with Josh Allen running out of the backfield. So James Cook is in a position where, even with Damian Harris there, James Cook is in a position where he has the ability to have a breakout season in one of the best offenses in the league by far. Like, I've been so confident in James Cook that I've managed to grab him in almost every league that I have. So when I start posting my teams and you see, yo, why he got James Cook on his team? Why he got James Cook on this team and this team and this team? It's because I'm telling you, I'm buying what they selling, and I want James Cook because I know that breakout season is coming, and it's this year. They've been talking about getting him more work, you know, Damian Harris, just in case, you know, you got somebody that can help you punch in a couple of touchdowns. James Cook is getting you from the 20 to the 20. You know, you sprinkle that in with Damian Harris being able to punch some in, and that you got a good balance. But James Cook is going to be dangerous this year because the Bills have needed a consistent run game in forever. And if they haven't had that, they've relied on Josh Allen to be able to run more. And you don't want Josh Allen to continue to take those hits. He's a more than capable passer. You got Stephon Diggs. You got Dalton Kincaid out of the draft. You got Gabriel Davis, who's probably going to have a breakout year too, because he's in a contract year. And I think he wants to stay in Buffalo. So the only way that you can do that is if you stay on the field and be healthy and produce. So, you know, I snuck Gabriel Davis in there. I'm on the wave. I bought in. Gabriel Davis. Let's go. And to wrap up this segment, I had to throw old head in there. Brandon Cooks. And I know you're like, what? Brandon Cooks having a breakout year. Like, what? He's dealt with injuries last year with the Houston Texans. He didn't have a great quarterback situation to work with in Davis Mills. But now he comes over to Dallas Cowboys. He gets Dak Prescott. They get a weapon that can separate from his defender. And that's something that they needed last year. Cook is reliable. Almost the 13 yards per reception just last season, I believe. So he still was getting it done, but you were in an offense that wasn't putting up a lot of points. So not a lot of scoring opportunities, but you have the opportunity to score in Dallas, and you are more than likely the number 2 wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. No shade on Michael Gallup, but you got a guy who can be a deep threat, who can use his speed, and why not? You have to concern yourself with other parts of the Cowboys offense. Brandon Cooks is in a good position to have a breakout year. And he said it himself that he wants to get back to his 1,000-yard ways. So what better way to do that? We could possibly see 2,000-yard wide receivers on the Dallas Cowboys. Ain't that something? I've been trying to sell Brandon Cooks to whoever will listen. So whether you listen or not, it's totally up to you. But those are my 4 candidates for breakouts in 2023. Chris Olave, Breece Hall, James Cook, and Brandon Cooks. So let's see how many I hit out of these 4. Hopefully I get them all. Let me look like a genius for once, because after After that Bijan Brian Robinson thing, I could use a win. But now let's get into the big part of the episode. We got to talk about these waivers, man. Waiver wire ads, week one. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of names of guys who you really should be looking to add to your waiver wire, from your waiver wire rather, on your team, just in case you may need a little oomph. Maybe an injury or two has happened. You know, you may be a Travis Kelce or George Kittle manager, and you're like, man, this was not what was supposed to happen after the draft, but now you need to make a pivot. So I got a couple names for you. So I'm going to give you, let's see, who am I going to dig in my bag for? Let's talk about Elijah Moore, wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. You know, he was traded from the Jets this offseason, and he's been garnering some hype, especially since some of it's from himself. He's been telling people, like, look, you need to take me on your fantasy teams. And for me, when a player says something like that, it makes you like, word? We talking like that now? Because we've seen the reverse where bulls, you know, players will say, oh, you know, I don't give a crap about your fantasy team. And, you know, most of the time they shouldn't. You know, they're going to produce whether your team is there or not. So I get that. But when you have a player, an NFL player, come out and say, yo, man, it's about to get ugly out here. Y'all better have me on your fantasy team. Dog, that's like, yo, I might need to put this boy on my roster. And Elijah Moore is kind of on that wave. Like, if you look at how the team has been moving, Donovan Peoples-Jones is on his last year. Elijah Moore could be fighting for that wide receiver two spot behind Amari Cooper. Camp reports have been saying that Elijah Moore and Deshaun Watson have been looking really good together, you know, on the field and during practice. And Elijah Moore is a former first-round pick. He just didn't work out with the Jets because Zach Wilson sucks. So he has an opportunity to revamp himself. And he's just nearly 30% rostered, according to NFL Fantasy. I would take the chance, especially if I don't already have Amari Cooper on my team. For how I operate, I don't like having two of the same player on the team at wide receiver. Like, I wouldn't draft Jamar Chase and T. Higgins for the same fantasy team. Like, that's just weird to me. I mean, some people have done it. I've seen it done before. Like, I've seen people take Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, you know, duos like that. It just bothers me, because what do you do? And I know the bye week is only 1 week, but what do you do? Like, you lose two players. I'm not trying to lose two players in the same week. I've done that. I've gotten murdered during the bye week, so I don't want to go through that again. But Elijah Moore, I kind of like this year. If I can get him on my rosters and I don't already have Amari Cooper, I would make the move. And for 30% roster, he's still floating around out there. If you need a wide receiver, he'd be a guy I'd be checking for. I'll give you a more obvious one. Heading into week one, because he should be out there for fantasy managers this week. And that guy is Van Jefferson, Rams wide receiver, 2.1% rostered on NFL Fantasy. What is he still doing on the waiver wire? Cooper Kupp down with the hamstring, seeing a specialist in Minnesota to figure out what's going on with his hamstring. He don't know. Nobody knows what's going on with his hamstrings. Two hamstring pulls in the same offseason at training camp. Van Jefferson should be on your rosters. Now, the boy Puka Nacua, he need to be rostered too. And I'm pretty sure he's still available on waiver wires. If Van Jefferson is still there at rostered at 2%, who else is Matthew Stafford throwing the ball to out there? It's one of those two guys. And if you say Tutu Atwell, I'm definitely giving you the side eye. Get out of here with that. Van Jefferson, Puka Nacua, those are your two options. Probably less than 5% rostered overall. Take a stab. You don't have anything to lose. You're getting them for free. You're getting them off the waiver wire. And if you do like my leagues do, if your commissioner does what I do, and I have a free agency period for the first week, you know, heading into week one, then you don't have to put in a waiver wire claim. You're getting them for dirt cheap. You're getting them for nothing because they weren't drafted. And if you need a wide receiver or you need a flex option, those two guys could be it. Where are all the targets that Cooper Kupp would have had if he played week one? Where are they going? They're going to go to those guys. They're going to have to spread the ball around. They could be playing from behind. More passes to get in the game. More opportunities. Right there. Boom. I just gave you two. Two right off the top. Let's see. Who else do you need? Deion Jackson. Nearly 32% rostered on NFL Network. Not NFL Network. NFL Fantasy. 32%. Now, we mentioned earlier in the news segment that they're talking about, the Colts are talking about using a running back by committee. But it's only Deion Jackson and Evan Hall. So even if you run into the snag of, you know, it's a committee and blah, 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 you're still going to have Deion Jackson getting the leadoff role because he's the more experienced running back, with Evan Hall sprinkling in to do the pass catching work. But Deion Jackson should still be rostered. Flex option. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is going to be out for 4 weeks on the PUP list. What do you lose by having Deion Jackson on your roster? You got a starting level running back. I don't know why I was about to say quarterback, but you have a starting running back on your roster ready to go, and they're going to have to use him. Of course, Anthony Richardson is still lurking. He's going to be running a lot too, but that just makes it easier for Deion Jackson. That's four. I'm giving you heat right now. Let me stop playing. Now, we talked about the tight end position. You know, George Kittle, Mark Andrews is banged up too. I didn't want to put that. I was going to save that for a different episode. But Mark Andrews was banged up too. He's expected to come back though. But you have Travis Kelce who's in doubt. You have George Kittle who's in doubt. So you might need a tight end. Sam Laporta, Detroit Lions rookie tight end. 5.2% rostered on NFL Fantasy. They don't have any pass catchers. They don't have any wide receivers. Are you picking up Marvin Jones for your fantasy team? You putting him in your lineup? I wish you could see me right now. We really need to do video because I just gave you the side eye. Marvin Jones, really? You plugging him in? Josh Reynolds, you plugging him in? No. You have Jahmyr Gibbs, who they've been talking about using him as a wide receiver because they don't have anybody else. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's the go-to guy, but he's in the slot. He's more than likely going to be underneath. You need an option. I mean, I'm not saying Sam Laporta is going to be streaking down the field, but you're not going to have a deep threat, or you're not going to be chucking the ball all over the place. You're going to be trying to move the ball methodically with Jared Goff, David Montgomery out of the backfield, Jahmyr Gibbs possibly being used as a receiver. You're not chucking the ball down. Now, I will say this. If they start throwing the ball deep to Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm going to throw my Lions take right up against the wall and burn it, because I've seen some camp videos from the Lions about Jahmyr Gibbs. That kid got wheels. Wheels, man. So maybe they're onto something using him as a wide receiver, at least until Jameson Williams comes back off of suspension. And, you know, he's probably on a waiver wire too, so check and see if he's still available, because if he is, and you can stash him in your IR spot, if your commissioner is savvy enough to allow suspended players to be in your IR, you just got a number one wide receiver for the free, for nothing. I mean, if your commissioners do that, because everybody commissioners don't do that kind of thing, you know. But if they do, you one up. But Sam Laporta, tight end, could be a possible replacement for Travis Kelce or George Kittle in the meantime until they come back and they're healthy. Laporta has been reportedly having a great camp or a good camp. He's been one of Jared Goff's favorite targets. And like I said, without Jameson Williams on the field, Amon-Ra St. Brown is basically out there with Josh Reynolds and Marvin Jones Jr. And, you know, they're not the best options for fantasy. If they somehow turn back the clock, I would be shocked, but I'm not gonna burn a waiver wire pick for either of those guys. So Laporta, we could see Laporta take over. Before TJ Hockenson was traded, he was definitely getting targeted. Brock Wright, the tight end, the veteran tight end over there, he's not really much of a pass catching threat. So if Laporta can get on, that's a great add. Let me throw one more tight end on y'all, and then we're gonna wrap this. Now I got one more nugget for y'all that y'all probably should have did already, but maybe you were lacking and you weren't paying attention. But I'll get to that last one. I'm gonna give you one more tight end. Luke Musgrave, tight end, Green Bay Packers, 6.2% roster on NFL Fantasy. He's been having a great camp too. The offense for the Packers is kind of retooled. You don't have Aaron Rodgers running the show anymore. Jordan Love is in charge. You have a brand new offensive, not offensive scheme, but you have a whole bunch of young, new talent. Musgrave has been having a great camp so far. They've been comparing him to JerMichael Finley in terms of athleticism, speed, pass-catching ability. To get a comp from JerMichael Finley, to JerMichael Finley, rather, as a rookie tight end, I mean, maybe they're embellishing a little bit, but the fact remains that they've been saying that, or reporters have been saying that they haven't had an athletic tight end like that since JerMichael Finley. That's a positive. You have Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Jalen Reed, Aaron Jones. You have options, but if Musgrave can connect with Jordan Love and be a reliable relief valve for the new quarterback, that's a plus. I would take the dart throw on Musgrave, just like I would take the dart throw on Laporta. Oh, and speaking of Laporta, let me tell you what, real quick, I'm going to tell you what Mark did. We had a draft together over the weekend, and this ninja decides at the end of the draft, because, you know, everybody starts making their late round picks, he starts yelling out players. Isn't that a violation? He's yelling out players. And I'm like, I don't have another tight end. I think I had Juwan Johnson. I picked up Juwan Johnson, and I was going to try and go and grab another tight end. And he yells out Laporta right before my turn. I was looking at him like, yo, are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? And because that's my homie, you know, we ain't scrapping or nothing like that over that. But yo, if I'm at a draft and Bulls is yelling out names, are you kidding me? That's a violation. That's not what you do. Mark might still have to see me about that, because he's yelling out Laporta. I think he yelled out Musgrave too. Some other bull. I'm like, yo, what is this bull doing? He's messing me up right now. Because I definitely could have gotten Laporta deep in the draft at the end. So I'm going to put that up on a poll. Is that a violation? Matter of fact, that's going to be a clip. Is it a violation to yell out players' names before picks have been made or before decisions have been made? Y'all got to let me know about that. But back to Musgrave. 6.2% roster. If you need a tight end, he might be a viable option for you, especially after the draft, where it may not be too many options left over. So you might have to take the chance on Musgrave until especially if you're a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle owner, might have to take the risk. Now, this last one, and then we're going to wrap this baby up. This last one, this is a heads up kind of play. Kyler Murray, 8.5% roster on NFL Network. I mean, why I keep saying network? You know why I'm saying network? Because I need to go re-up my YouTube subscription. that's what it is. I need YouTube back because I need to watch that game on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? So I need that updated. That's what it is. I got business to handle after the podcast. But Kyler Murray is a heads up play, and you're asking yourself why. You don't lose anything by taking him in the draft. One, if you take him in the draft, you can put him right in your IR spot because he's on injury reserve. Now, backstory on Kyler Murray, just in case you didn't know, we don't know whether or not he's even going to play this season because there's rumors going around that the Arizona Cardinals are tanking or making an effort to tank in order to get Caleb Williams. The speculation is that if they do decide to make that move, Kyler Murray could be traded. They can get out from under his contract. They can go get a rookie or move up to be able to put themselves in a position to get somebody like a Caleb Williams in the upcoming draft. So if you're going to do that, maybe Kyler Murray doesn't play in 2023. I kind of have a feeling that he will. The Cardinals are going to suck this year. They're starting with Clayton Tune. They got rid of Colt McCoy this offseason. So it's kind of like they look like they're tanking. But you could still probably tank with Kyler Murray too. So in the event that he does play, you have a QB1 on your roster that you held in your IR spot for free. You didn't have to draft him. Also, what that does is even if you have to draft him and then move him to the IR, you just freed up another bench spot. So now you can go to the waiver wire and grab another running back or another wide receiver or maybe even another quarterback. And now you have another player, potential starter, or maybe a handcuff or whatever your strategy needs to solidify your lineup or your bench. You have that spot now. But Kyler Murray should be a heads-up play. You grab him at the end of your draft or like in Sleeper, you can, is it Sleeper or is it, it's Sleeper or Yahoo, where you can pick a player up off the waiver wire that's on injured reserve and move him right to your IR spot. So you're basically getting him for nothing. You got to be savvy when you're playing this game. Fantasy football, it's not for the weak. But that'll do it, man. We are done. This episode is in the books. We finished cooking. Now we're done. So make sure you get your waiver wire set. Make sure you make, and when you wake up in the morning, whenever this podcast drops, whenever you're hearing it, whether it's tonight, whether it drops on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, you still got options. Just because claims went through and you didn't get who you wanted or you didn't put in a claim, that's cool too. Strategy-wise, you don't always have to put in a claim because if you do, you'll be put right back at the bottom of the tiers for the waiver wire. But if you wait, and this is what I do, I wake up in the middle of the night because I know my leagues, I know my league mates, they scouring too. At 2 a.m. when waivers go through, they're scouring too. So if you want to win, you know, you ain't got to stay up all night till waivers clear. Wait till that moment. Or, because I get up early in the morning to go to work, I'm on the waiver wire while I'm brushing my teeth. It's not a game. But that'll do it for the episode. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back with a brand new episode later on this week. We still got the divisional breakdowns to get done. We got a ton of stuff to get down and get out because we're going to the end season stuff. We're going to make the transition, but we got some tidying up to do before we get there. But best believe we will be taking care of you as we get to Sunday's games and Saturday's games. And we got some other announcements coming. Got some stuff on the way, man. We making moves. We trying to get out there. So listen to the podcast, subscribe on Apple, Google, all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. And yo, hit them polls for us on Spotify, man. I'm putting them joints up there. Hit them polls. Answer them questions. Yo, we want the interaction. We love the interaction. We love the engagement. So stay up with us, man. We making moves. More stuff to come. We got another announcement. You know, we just got stuff coming down the pike. So we're gonna solidify everything and then get everything done. But we got more stuff coming, so stay with us. It's gonna be a fun season. We got mad trash talk and mad stuff to talk about for fantasy each and every week as we help you win your championships in 2023. But that'll do it for the episode. Thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate all of our listeners. We love you guys. And don't be afraid to hit us up on social media too. I've been getting a few DMs, and you know, I could use a few more, because I want to win, and I want to help you win too. So without further ado, that's it. We will catch you guys on our next episode of the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too, @TheFantasy'sFinest. See you next episode.